The gospel will be taken from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, the parable of the sower. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there. While the crowd was beside the sea on hand, he began to teach many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on a path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no roots, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he said, "If you have ears to hear, then hear." The purpose of the parables. When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables, and he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, and in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no roots and endure only for a while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the age and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. This is the gospel of Christ. Amen.
The nearest church to my home is Harvest Christian Fellowship on Arlington Avenue at Adams Street in Riverside. This church, Harvest, is a nationally well-known church that is thriving in Riverside. Being affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, SBC, this church has a huge campus with about 15,000 members. Yes, it's one of those mega churches that offer multiple worship services and many programs and ministries, and its Riverside main campus is located within walking distance from my home. How convenient for me, right? But I don't go there. No offense to Harvest Church for anything. If the church is doing well as God's harvest, praise God. That would be wonderful for them and for the community. Anyhow, they have a good name, Harvest. That's my point. Of course, it refers to God's harvest. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Here, the Lord of the harvest means that God is the sovereign owner and controller of the spiritual harvest, the gathering of souls into his kingdom. Jesus uses this metaphor to show that salvation depends on God, who calls and sends workers to gather people ready for the gospel. Yes, we all are sent to God's harvest as God's faithful laborers who are called and expected to pursue the number one mission of bearing fruit. So, welcome back to my sermon series, Bearing Fruit. Last Sunday, we shared my first sermon entitled Called to be Fruitful. This morning, I'd like to share with you my next sermon, Invited to Labor for God's Harvest, Part 1 of 2. Yes, we all are invited to labor for God's harvest by bearing fruit. However, we need to be aware that there are at least two important principles that we must follow if we truly and seriously want to be fruitful. Number one, true fruitfulness is measured by what our ministry produces, not just by how busy we are. Since this is a very important point, let us read this together in one voice. Can we do that? True fruitfulness is measured by what our ministry produces, not just by how busy we are. Have you ever watched a new TV game show called The American Bible Challenge? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Some of you. Oh, good. Okay. On KTLA, Channel 5, on Friday. It's a Bible quiz contest show with a Bible trivia pursuit style. There are many different formats of the contest, and one of them is to guess whether this particular sentence or phrase is from the Bible or from somewhere else. So, this morning, I need a brave volunteer to take this challenge. I'd like to invite one of you, the congregation members, to come forward and to take this challenge. Don't worry, it's a very easy question and one question only. Any volunteer? Come on, I have a prize. Nice brand new backpack with a church name on. Oh my goodness, come on, get it. Oh, Elisa, hey, okay. Okay, very good. Okay, you can look at the screen, okay, and guess. Okay, challenge question. Is the following sentence from the Bible or a bumper sticker? Okay. Jesus is coming. Look busy. A, from the Bible. B, from a bumper sticker. Which one? Are you sure? So, if not from the Bible, which where? The answer should be A or B. I mean, B, should we, right? 50-50, right? Okay, yeah, you're correct. Yeah. Good job. Thank you, Lisa. All right. Jesus coming, look busy, is supposed to be a humor that can be found in bumper stickers on many cars or even on T-shirts. Can you look at this T-shirt? Yeah. However, it can also be an important reminder for Christians to live in an active readiness for Jesus always, since we have no idea when Jesus will come back. So it implies that rather than being lazy or complacent, believers should actively do good work, act with divine urgency, and be found faithful, behaving in a way that is acceptable at any moment. Yes, this is very much related to my point this morning. True fruitfulness is measured by what our ministry actually produces, not just by how busy we are or how busy we look. Well, even though we might look busy, God knows and Jesus knows our heart, right? So let us examine ourselves for and our collective life together and our ministries. What your ministry would actually produce? What does your heart produce? Whatever it is, are you multiplying it abundantly? Or are you being distracted by being too busy with too many other things? I'm sure many of you, if not all, are familiar with this parable of the sower told by Jesus from this morning's Gospel of Mark. This same parable is also recorded in Matthew and Luke as well. And this parable is also called the parable of the soils, or the parable of the four soils. Simply put, this parable teaches us that the effectiveness of God's word, the seed, in a person's life depends on the condition of their heart, the soil, while the seed, the word of God, or the word, the good news, or the gospel, is identical in all cases. Only a receptive, open heart bears good fruit. As you are aware, the four different soils represent different responses to the gospel. Number one, hardened soil, wayside. Number two, shallow soil, rocky. Number three, distracted soil, thorny. And number four, receptive soil, good soil. Because everyone's heart is different, there could be many hindrances to growth, such as Satan, verse 15, birds, lack of death / persecution, sun, verse 17, or the worries or distractions of life, thorns, verse 18. So from this parable, we must remember that the goal of hearing the word is to produce fruit, which happens when the heart is prepared to listen and obey. Despite obstacles, this parable highlights that God's word will produce a bountiful harvest, often defying the odds of the surrounding unproductive soil. The central challenge is to examine one's own heart and ensure it is good soil, receptive, honest, and ready to let the word take root. In this sense, one of the significant and practical applications from this parable of the sower is this. Just as a vine is judged by its grapes, which are the actual fruit, A church is judged by the lives saved, changed, or transformed, and the spiritual maturity produced in its community, not by the sheer volume of programs, systems, or any set of beliefs. Of course, we are trying hard while trying to be faithful. We are trying to do our best, of course. Yes, our intentions are good. Our hard works are commendable. Our busy schedules appear to be impressive. Our teamwork efforts are awesome. Our hearts are loving and caring, and our enthusiasm is high. But where are our fruits? Are we bearing meaningful and tangible fruit for God's glory and for the kingdom of God as Jesus expects and commands? Are our ministries producing abundant fruit so that our joy may be complete and our Heavenly Father is pleased? Therefore, it is time for us to realize that our ministry focus should be on bearing fruit. After all, we all are indeed called to be faithful, fruit-bearing disciples of Christ. And throughout this new sermon series, I hope and pray that we can be both faithful and fruitful. My fellow disciples of Christ and branches of the true vine, let's keep this first point in mind. Let us read this all together one more time. True fruitfulness is measured by what our ministry produces, not just by how busy we are. To be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.